Amen.
And we saw Eel's response, which was that it seems pretty clear in my case, and assumably cases like it, that it's not something that's an outgrowth of my own actions, but that God is after me. We saw in the beginning of Perek Vav, he said, it's too much for me to bear. Pasuk Dalet, ki chitzei shadai imadi. Why is it too much for me to bear? Because the arrows of God are what are with me, are what affecting me. And he talks about how his reaction is the natural reaction one should have in a situation like this. Right? Compares it to the reaction of any living being to the food it eats, etc. What he says is, halavai, that God would strike me down. The fact that he's leaving me alive is an indication that he wants me to suffer. Mi yitain pasakhet tavo she'elati v'tikvati yitain eloha v'yoel eloha v'idakeni. And God would agree to strike me down. Yateri ado v'vatzeini. That would be the only consolation. How can I possibly bear with this? In the end of Perek Vav, he talks about his disappointment from the friends. Pasakidav, lamas mereu chased. Compares them to the river that's run dry, and the disappointment that one feels. And what we saw last week is that Perek Zayin, the second Perek, is where he turns to Hashem. Right? First he responds to the one speaking to him, and then he speaks to God. And he says that, why have you given me these days and nights of suffering? He talks about the dreams here, as we spoke about last week. And he basically asks, why is it that God seeks, pays such attention to man? We saw Pasuk Zayin, Ma'anosh ki tigadlenu, same words that David uses in Sefer Tehillim to describe man, but here he's talking about not why do you aggrandize man, but why do you punish man? Why do you care so much about the little sins that he does? Basically, his response to his response to Eliphaz is that what he's experiencing cannot be separated from God. It's clear that these things are coming from God. So now Bildad's going to step up, based on the give and take that's just happened. So first of all, just quantitatively, there's more of an intensification of what's going on here. You see it, for example, in Pasuk Dalet, as opposed to the general mishalim that we saw in Perek Dalet, and when Eliphaz presented about the lion and the teeth and the children. Here in Perkhet Pasuk Dalet, Bildad says, Im banecha chatulo, v'yishalchem b'yad pisham. He says very clearly, that why is it that the children of Eel suffered? Because they said, Im banecha, your children. Eov spoke directly to God, as opposed to Perek Gimel, where he spoke, you know, with caution. So now they're speaking directly to him. Pasuk Vafi continues, Im zach v'yasharata, if you would be pure and straight, now God would awaken to you and fix your life. Implication being that you're not straight. So again, the general picture of what Bildad is saying is similar to what Eliphaz said, and we'll see the same thing in Sofar, the third speaker as well, which is, you're suffering because you've done something wrong. Not that you're getting this for some unexplained reason. It's happening because you've done something wrong. But philosophically, Bildad has a very different explanation. Did anyone who saw Perek Chet come up with an understanding of what's different about Bildad's explanation? Yes? Can he what? I think it's more direct than that. He says, In banecha chatulo, right? I mean, explanation philosophically. Philosophically, why is it that this is happening? So what did Eliphaz say? He said, God wants to give you good, but you've done bad things, right? You've planted weeds, so weeds grow. Eov answered, how could you say this is from me? It's clear that it's from God. Yes?
He kind of says that it's more of a nurture.
And you're going to have to quote me, Psukim. Where does he say what? Yes?
Psukim.
If you say the right answer, I'll give you the psukim. If Ellie wants to tell me a different answer, he's going to have to show it to me the psukim. Yeah. At least what I think is the right answer.
He shows like the good people like have good things happen to them, the bad things.
What's the explanation?
That every action has a consequence, which is a sign that.
It's too many words. Is it coming from God or not coming from God? It's coming from God. So why am I suffering? Say it. It's mishpat. As opposed to Eliphaz, and Ryan's looking at a good place at the beginning of the speech, right? As opposed to Eliphaz, who said, it's not from God. Right? It's not from God. Nothing to do with God. He also says, how could you say this isn't from God? It is from God. So how come God is doing this to me? Because you deserve it. He says in Pasuk Bet, Ad antem alel ele v'ruach kavir emreifich, how much are you going to be full of hot air? Right? How much are you going to tell us what you have to say? Ha'el yaveh mishpat v'im shaddai yaveh tzedek. What's the question he asks here? Does God twist the judgment, twist justice? God is a just judge. If this is what's happening, it must be deserved. Im banecha chatu lo, v'yishachem yad v'sham. And therefore yimata tishacher elel. Like if then statements, right? If then there's a system, there are rules. Imata tishacher elel. If you'll turn to God, v'al shaddai titchanan, and you'll beg for mercy. Im zach v'yasharata, if you'll be pure and straight. Ki ata yir alach v'shilam nevatzakecha. Right away, things will go good for you. Well, how did Eov end off his speech in Perek Zayin? He said, I have no strength. The only future I have, end of his speech, end of Perek Aleph is, Ki ata lefer eshka v'shichartani v'aneni. Right now I'm gone. What's Bildad's answer in the end of Pesach Vav? Ki ata, the same words, not Ki ata lefer eshka, but Ki ata, Yair alecha v'shilam nevatzakecha. Eov was complaining that he doesn't have the strength to wait till, you know, the circle of life, till the good part on the wheel comes back to him. Bildad says, since we're not talking about some natural system of planting weeds, of planting wheat, but we're talking about God's justice, if you'll be deserving in a moment, you'll get right, you'll be back on the horse again. Again, according to Eliphaz, it comes from you. So now you have to turn to God and ask him to try and fix things. No. God is immediately justice this way, justice that way. If you'll deserve something different, you'll have something different. Right away. Now we saw that Eliphaz brought his proof from where? Where did he bring his proof from? He did talk about God healing in nature, but his proof of God being good and man being bad, the distance between God and man, he brought from a vision. Remember the middle of his speech? How great God is, how low man is, and the purpose of that was God is so great and wonderful and man is so low and creates negativity. I'm only mentioning that because Bildad brings his basis from somewhere else. Where is Bildad's basis from? Next, look at him. How many people read Perakzat? Okay, so we can expect people maybe know, right? I was asking. If nobody's read it, what a waste of time, right? We should feel bad if we read it and we don't know it, we didn't read it well. No, it's better to have read it, yes.
Doesn't he say like we don't know?
He doesn't say we don't know.
So look at the earlier ones.
He goes, ask earlier generations. He brings his proof from history. Ask the elders. What will the elders tell you? The elders will tell you that in the end, justice is served. Ki sha'al na ledor rishon, v'chonein l'cheker avotam, ki tmol alachnu v'lo neda, ki tzel yameinu alei aretz. What's he explaining in Pasuk Tet? Huh?
You won't know the future, but you are the future of the people in the past.
You can't ask people in the past about the future. What do we expect to hear from people in the past? He's going to elaborate in the next second. They're going to tell you about how there's justice, right? Why is it that we can't see justice? Ki tmol anachnu. V'lo neda. Ki tzel yameinu alei aretz. We haven't lived long enough. What he's saying is that you see in the course of your life injustice. And it frustrates you. But people who have lived long lives have had enough of a chance to see how the movie ends. I'll give you an example. In the beginning, in the 1990s, the Serbians were beaten up on the Bosnians in Yugoslavia, right? Terrible way. Not a war, but racial cleansing and terrible things. Okay. And the world was in an uproar. And one who is young and hasn't seen the full experience of what's going on there could have said, how could God be allowing this to happen? Now people who had lived for a number of years, people who lived during World War II understood exactly where this was coming from. Because what happened in World War II? The Bosnians were allies with the Nazis. And the Bosnians are, you know, Muslims and Arabs, etc. And the Arab world was aligned with the Bosnians and the whole business and Hitler and the Mufti of Yerushalayim, etc. And the Bosnians not only massacred the Jews in Yugoslavia in a terrible way, but also the Serbs. And someone who lived in 1945 could have said, how could God allow this to happen? Well, if you're around 45 years later, you're going to see the answer. I mean, both on a Ashkafa, Hashem level, and also on a historical level. If you were around in 1945, you understand where the anger of the Serbs is coming from. And I'm not saying it's justified and that's what they should do. I'm just saying you have more of a historical perspective. If you just live in 1992, you don't understand a thing. So much of what happens is more understood when you have historical perspective on it. Ki tmol anachnu, we're just here from yesterday. Velo neida, ki tzel yaminu al yaretz, our days are like a shadow. Halohem yorucha, they'll be able to show you. Yomru lach, umilibam yotziu milim. From their heart, they're going to take out the following words. What? What are they going to tell you? So here there's two parts. There's Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Yud Vav. The first five sukkah. And then Tezayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Chet, Yud Tet. The next unit. What's the difference? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hayig'e goma b'li bitza, yizge achu b'li mayim. Odenu v'ibo lo yukateif lifnei kol chatzir yivash. Kein orchot kol shokhechei el v'tikfat chanef toved. Asher yakot kislo ubeit achavish miftacho. Yishain al beito v'lo yamod. Yachazik bo v'lo yakum. What's he talking about here in these pesukim?
Wicked are like worn out and their house collapses. And
the wicked's house collapses. What's his point? The wicked get punished. In the particular image he's using. The wicked have a house. They have a house. They have an empire. They have strength. They have things that they rely upon. And they seem to be successful with. But ultimately, they fall apart. Meaning, in the end, crime doesn't pay. He compares the wicked in Pesukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis to what? To what, excuse me?
Swamp.
What in the swamp?
Reeds.
The reeds in the swamp. Now a reed can grow very quickly, right? But what's the problem with a reed? It doesn't have strong roots. It's not like a tree, Tuvishva, right? So it looks great, but it's going to be blown away quickly. And the house that he relies upon, he compares it to what in Pasuk Yud Aleph?
Spiderweb.
A spider web. Because a spider web looks very impressive, right? But in the end, it doesn't stand. This idea of comparing a rasha to a growth that doesn't have potential, right? Sticking potential. And again, not the thing we would compare it to because we don't live in nature. We live in buildings. But if you lived in the world, you might use this imagery. Versus the tzaddik, who we're going to read about now, what does he compare the tzaddik to? A plant with roots, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Al gal sharashav yisuvachu. Beit avanim yechazeh. Right? You can't puff and blow down a house of stones. It may take longer to build, but ultimately it's stronger. Im yivalenu mim komo v'chichesh palo reiticha, heinu misos tako me'afar acher yitzmachu. It could be that he'll be knocked off, but he'll regrow from other dirt. He'll constantly rebound. Which Mizmor Tehillim should this remind you of? One you know well. You probably just read without like thinking about what it says. What?
Aleph.
I mean, it does compare the Rishon Tzaddikim, but not in the same way. Let's look at Tzadi Beis. Anyone ever hear of Mizmor Tzadi Beis? Mizmor Shil Yom Shabbat. What's it about? Not Shabbat, right? What's it about? Let's look together. Pasuk Chet. Bifroach Rishayim Kemo Esev. Vayatzitzu Kol Poal Yavan. They sprout up. But the Hisham Damadiyad. Vyatamarom Yolam Hashem. Ki Yine Oivecha Hashem. Ki Yine Oivecha Yovedu Yitpardu Kol Poal Yavan. The Poal Yavan who are Vayatzitzu Kol Poal Yavan in Pasuk Chet. What about the Tzadikim? What about the tzaddikim? The gimel? Tzaddik! Katamar Yifrach. Oh, this is something we sing, we know. Ke'erez balvanon yizgah shitulim b'veit Hashem. B'chatzrot elokeinu yafrichu, not b'froach v'sha'im k'mo esef, but b'chatzrot elokeinu yafrichu. Because they grow in the chatzar of God, they grow strong. They're like a tamar, like an erez with a strong root system. They can bounce back. They're real. It may take longer to grow. It may not be flashy, but they're going to stand up. They're going to stand the test of time. Coming back to Eov, what's his conclusion? Hein elo yamas tam. God will not show disgust for the simple, complete person. Velo yachzik biad mereim, and he won't hold the hand and strengthen the wicked. Ad yimales chok picha usvatecha tura sonecha yil b'shuvoshet va'ol rishaim einenu. Basically, how you react now, Eov, and what happens with you will be an indication of who you really are. If you don't react properly now, so be mitbarer that you're a Rasha, and the great home you have will turn out retroactively to have been spiderweb. It was all a facade. You didn't deserve it. Like Sutton said, right? You have wickedness. And that's why you'll be wiped away. But if this will bring out in you the righteousness of what you can be, so then you'll rebound, like a tzaddik rebounds, and everything will be good. And who will be lost? Sonecha, again, Paschav Ben. Sonecha yil b'shuvoshet. V'o'el rishaim einenu. And it's the tent of the Rasha that won't be. Why is he referring to this einenu here? What's the significance of the last three words of Bildad's speech? You have to remember the debate, just like you would in any debating team, right? And it's you who are mistaken, huh? No, you don't have to guess. Look at the last words of Yield's speech. What were the last words? Ki ata le'afar eshkav v'shichartani v'eineni. I'm going to be gone. Bildad takes that last pasuk and relates to each phrase. Where did he relate to the first part of the pasuk? In pasuk? We saw it in pasuk? Vav, right? When he said that if you're going to turn to God and beg for mercy, if you'll be straight and pure, ki ata ya'ir alecha v'shilam nevat tzidkecha, as opposed to the beginning of the last pasuk of Yov's speech, which was ki ata le'afar ashuv, right? Eshkav. Eov ended off v'shichartani v'eineni, says Bildad, that if you'll be righteous, you'll be saved, and it'll be sonecho yil b'shuvoshet. Ol rishaim einenu. It's the tent of the Rishayim that won't be. You have to decide which side of the fence you're on. You have to decide what your tent is. If you're a Rasha, so then okay. They'll be deserved because all Rishayim in it. But if not, so then you won't be part of the Rishayim who lose their tent. Joe, if you have a better shot, I'm happy to hear. I had that shot, I thought it was a question. You're with me, I'm saying, I'm always happy to hear someone's different shot. I just feel the word is like exact response. I am very interested in hearing people's different. If Eli, you feel he's not talking about Mishpat, I'm happy to hear it. You know what I'm saying? You with me? And I said the right. I think what I think is the right answer. If any of you have a case, but you have to have the psukim, right? Not just Joe. So if Joe, you had something where you felt the word veineni, he's working on something else, I want to hear it too. You with me? But I, as you try and see, I always try and build off the text. I think it's just a good, thing because it's in the book. All right. Any questions about Bildad? Yes.
One of the things that Eliyahu claimed when he was at Hak Eliphaz was that I think all my suffering is from my sins and all that, and what I do that was so bad. So doesn't that claim still stand?
It's the same. We're going to see Eliyahu's response right now, right?
No, but I saw that.
Bildad's response is to a particular point. Eliyahu said, "You can't say this isn't from God." Bildad says, "You're right. It's from God. You deserve it." But you're pointing out with the Rayim is that they're speaking on a philosophical level about the next stage of where you can go, but does it make sense in practice for the case in front of you? Which is exactly what Eov's going to say, but he's going to say it sharper than what you're just saying, because Eov is a debater, right? He's not just going to say, what did I do to deserve this? He's going to say much more.
No, but I saw the answer. I was wondering how
you saw the answer of Eov?
Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, I
didn't
fully understand it.
Okay, so we're going to understand. I want you to see all that he says, right?
Yeah.
But it includes the fact that you want to say it's Mishpat? Do I deserve this? Yes, it includes that. You're saying if you understood what Eov was saying beforehand, you couldn't possibly say this.
Yes.
Maybe they're not speaking to Eov. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
they're speaking to what they believe it ought to be. And it's easy not to speak to a person if you're not experiencing what he's experiencing. Right? Yes?
But how wrong is Dios?
How wrong? We'll find out when God gives his speech in the end.
Until now, like, from what we've seen, like, he's more right than they are.
We don't know. Who are we to judge? I don't know, you know, we can give our impressions, but the truth is part of what's missing in our evaluation is we don't really know exactly what he was, right? That's part of the missing information. And we're going to get it, And as the book develops, and they keep saying, you're suffering because you're bad, right? And he keeps saying, I'm not bad. There's a major question which comes up here, which was he bad, right? Meaning, and how could you debate Metzius? Was he bad or he wasn't bad? Especially as it gets sharper, they're going to accuse him of picking on widows and orphans. Now, to do that, you have to be a pretty evil guy. You couldn't think that you're a nice guy, right? We'll see. We're going to take it slow.
Then why say the nice guy in the beginning?
Definitely, it seems that we had very many positive qualities. The question is, how can a wonderful person who thinks he's a great person be oppressing widows and orphans? We'll see the answer to that. It's scary because we think we're good people too, right? Maybe we're oppressing widows and orphans. We'll see. We have a whole book ahead of us, right? Let's see Eov's response to Bildad first, okay? Vayan Eov Vayomar. Here too, Eov's speech consists of two prakim, right? We have Perek Tet and Perek Yud. Correct? Everyone sees it?
Yeah.
Tet and Yud. What's the division between Tet and Yud? Anyone saw it? Two different?
He's talking to two different individuals.
Well, in Tet, he's speaking to the Reim and Yud. Just like we saw him, Sukkot, Imper Prakim, Vav, and Zion, right? Remember, we're seeing a pattern. It makes sense. First he responds to them, and then he has what to say to God. Now, what's interesting about Eov's response to the Reim, Perek Tet, is that it bears a striking resemblance to Eliphaz's speech. Did anyone notice any psukim here in Perek Tet that are similar to psukim in Eliphaz's speech, which was Perek Hey? Just to remind you. Dalad and Hey, but whatever, yeah. Let's take, for example, Perek Tet, Pasuk Hey. Okay, let's take a look there. Perek Tet, Pasuk Hey. He's talking about God, who's Ma'atik Harim Velo Yadao Asher HaFacham V'Apo. He's Margiz Eretz Mimkoma V'Amuda Yitpalatzun. Ha'omer L'Cheres Velo Yizrachu V'Ad Kochavim Yechtom. Notesh Shamayim Levado V'Dorech Al Bamateyam. Ose Ash Ksil V'Chima V'Chadrei Teiman. Particularly Pasuk Yud. Hosen nifgedolot adein cheker v'nifloatav adein mispar. He's talking about God's power over nature. Look back at Perek Hey. Pasuk Chet. We'll start with Pasuk Tet. Perek Hey, Pasuk Tet. Oseg dolot v'ein cheker. Nifloatav adein mispar. Remind you of anything? And then he continues to describe God's power over nature. Eov 2. Back now in Perek Tet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Eov refers to a vision. Hein yavor alai velo ereh, v'yachlof velo avin lo. It passed before me without me being able to see it properly or understand it properly. Hein yachtof mi yeshivenu, mi yomar elav ma ta'aseh. Remember, of course, in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Let's pick up from Pasuk, more particularly, Ted Zayin. Yamod velo akir mareu, tmuna lenegede nai dmama v'kol eshma. Back to Pasuk, v'ruach apana yachlof, samer sarap sari. Also describes some kind of vision. Now again, this in and of itself, the fact that Eov might use the words and respond on some level to the content of Eliphaz shouldn't shock us because it's an ongoing debate. But what's most surprising is that one of the core points, not just the context, right, the framework that Eov uses, is taken directly from Eliphaz's speech. And here I mean the opening line. Let's look at the beginning of Perek Tet. Vayan Eov vayomar, amnam yadati kichem. I know that it's so. I knew that it's so. Umayitzdak enosh im el. Remind you of anything? Umayitzdak enosh im el. What was Elifaz's response to his vision? The center of his speech. Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin. Let's begin Perek Dalet Pasuk Tet Zayin. Ya'amod v'lo akim areel t'muna le'negen einai d'mama v'kol ashma. I have this vision and I heard a voice. What did the voice say? Pasuk Yud Zayin. Hayanosh me'eloha yitzda. In me'oseu yitar gather. What does Eliyahu say? Uma yitzdak enosh im el. Is he responding to Eliphaz? One thing is for sure. He's responding to Bildad, A, because he's responding to Bildad, and B, just in case you shouldn't think that he's confused, if you look in Pasuk Yud Tet Non, Perek Tet, Eov refers to the question of Mishpat. He says, Im lekoach hamitz hine, if God wants a fist fight, here I am. V'im lemishpat miyo ideini, im etzdak pi yarshieni, tamani v'yaksheni, tamani lo yidan afshiz. Seems to be conducting some kind of trial, some kind of mishpat. But what's his point beforehand? On the one hand, the question is mishpat. On the other hand, he's using the context of Eliphaz's speech. What's his point? So let's begin by noting how he changes that key line of Eliphaz. Compare Perek Tet Pasuk Bet, again the first Pasuk, with its source, Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud Zayin. Eliphaz said what? Ha'enosh me'elohai yitzdak. What does Eov say? What's the difference between what he says? Repeating the words, yes? You're saying that Eliphaz asked us a question and Eov is agreeing to what Eliphaz wants him to say, that man can't compare to God? That would be bad, because that would be the wrong direction, right? I think you're focusing on the wrong part of the pasuk. I'll translate it to English. Eliphaz said, can man be greater than God? Can he be more righteous than God? Eov formulates the question in a different way. It's also a question, right? Can man be righteous with God? Not than God, but with God. What does it mean to be righteous with God? Eov is asking a very simple question, which most of us assume to be heresy. But we only assume it to be heresy because we have the luxury of dealing with Hashgafa without having to be bothered by our own suffering. What Eov is saying is, okay, there's Mishpat. God wants to punish me. So he should take me to court. Meaning, what are the charges? Give me a chance to defend myself. Let me at least know why I'm being picked on. Does man have the chance to be judged, to find out if he's righteous or not? Again, look at Pasuk Yutet, that central Pasuk. Im lekoach hamitz hineh. If you want to say that God is a bully who's just stronger than everyone else, then okay. That's how it works. So God is a tough, bad bully, and he beats up everybody. But im lemishpat miyo ideini. But if we're talking about justice, a trial, who informed me of the trial? Is it possible to have some kind of real mishpat? This is an expression of the frustration that a person has when they believe it's coming from God. They're told that God is just, but it makes no sense. There are those famous stories about the Siddush HaRebbes who take God to trial. Right? The Barditchev HaRebbe. God, I'm taking you to trial. How can you do this to the Jewish people? How can you cause them all this suffering? Or Rebbe's in the Holocaust. Again, it's ludicrous. They're using that to express some kind of feeling of not understanding. It's a way of davening, of saying, God, how can this be happening? If we're talking about justice, there have to be rules in justice, right? For example, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. What does he say? Let's start in Pasuk Lamed Bet. Ki lo ish kamoni enenu. God won't answer someone like me. Nevo yachtav b'mishpat. Are we going to come together to trial? Lo yesh b'nenu mochiach yashed yadenu ashneinu. Is there someone who can be in control of both of us? Some authority that's above the two of us? Pasuk Lamadalo, Yaser me alai shitho, he should take off his whacking stick from me. Ve'imato al tava adani, and stop intimidating me. Is it fair in a trial that that one side is already persecuting the other? You know, the Medrash has a lot of discussions by the Akedah that are taken from the context of Sefer Iyov. We already mentioned that there's a lot of basis of comparison between Avram, in particular the story of the Akedah and Sefer Iyov, right? Child, being asked to lose your child. Akedah, it's worth it. Kill this child. I think the strongest theme in the Medrash that's taken from Sefer Iyov is, of course, all the Midrashim we're familiar with regarding the Sutton, right? You have all these Midrash about how the Sutton is trying to confuse Avram, keep Avram from getting there, the water on the way, right? All these things. And there's two ways the Medrash tells us that Sutton tries to stop Iyov. One is stop the water, all these kind of things on the way. The other is to confuse him. So one of the things the Medrash says, the Sutton says to him is, you know, tomorrow after you kill the Yitzchak, God's going to punish you for it. He's going to say, how could you kill your son? It's unacceptable. And you're going to say, but you told me to. He's going to say, me? What court are you going to take him to? What slave is going to be believed to testify against his master? What kind of position are you in? So is this kind of justice fair? Is this kind of justice fair? What do you guys think? Is this kind of justice fair? No, but it doesn't make a difference. Okay. I don't know if the answer should be so conclusively no. Are there any systems in our world today where justice works that way? Yes.
It's not really comparable to what we do. Like the whole.
Think carefully before you answer today's world. What?
Guantanamo Bay.
The military. Guantanamo Bay people feel is incorrect and unfair, but nobody questions the military unless it's a few good men, which is probably a movie before your time, right? How does Tom Cruise get Jack Nicholson off his game?
Yes,
to make him feel like the whole trial is a farce. How can the general be brought in front of court to be questioned about the way the military works? What happens if you spit at a general? Does the general take you to court?
No.
If you're a soldier, I mean. What does the general do? No. What does the general do? I mean, according to law, what's the general allowed to do? What? He court martials you. Does the general have to take you in front of another general? He puts you in the jet. He takes away your star, whatever. Military justice, right? Anyone questions whether that's fair? Military doesn't question whether that's fair. Again, it could be if there's something abusive. Meaning if the general orders a code red, which kills someone, so then the regular citizens get involved. But the truth is, 100 years ago wasn't that way either. If a general ordered a soldier killed because of treason or whatever he felt, that was it, finished. You talk about in ancient times, that's the way kings judged. If the king thought you did something wrong to him, did he take you to court? Did David take Uriah to court? That was it. I'll give you an example. Potiphar's wife accused Yosef of doing what she accused him of doing. Yosef, of course, said, baloney, right? Who did Potiphar believe?
Yosef.
Absolutely believed Yosef. Because if he believed his wife, Yosef would not have been thrown in jail. If he believed his wife, Yosef would have been dead. How do you think Yosef felt? I don't know, Potiphar couldn't just let him go, right? Because that would imply that his wife. The number one reason Potiphar put Yosef in jail was to keep him away from his wife. Or not keep him away from his wife, but keep his wife away from him. Is that fair? But that's the way when you're in charge, you judge. How many of you have ever heard of Rav Amnon Magenza? What was he? Who was he, Joey?
I heard his name.
The story that's told in the Or HaZeruah, a number of other svarim about him, is that he is, you know the story, just don't know the name. He was a rabbi in Magenza, and he was friendly with the local lord. He used to have conversations with him, priest, lord. And the priest said, you should convert to Christianity. And he said, give me 3 days. And after 3 days, he said, no. And they cut off his arms, they cut off his legs, right? And then they brought him into shul, and he wrote the tefillah of, which is such a central tefillah, and the question is why? What's Natana Tokif about? It's about the intimidating nature of the day. Why is it so intimidating? Why is there no chance to get away? Because what does it say? God is right. Sofer umone vekote vechotem vegozer. Meaning, in today's society, people are not afraid to commit a crime. Why? Number one, what are the chances they'll be caught? If they'll be caught, they have to go to trial. And when you go to trial, you get yourself a Jewish lawyer. Then you get an appeal. Then you can get pardoned. What's his name's guy in America who Clinton pardoned right before he left office? He was like a terrible criminal who Clinton pardoned, like for white collar crimes, right before he left office. It was a huge scandal. Okay, whatever. Anyway, you're going to get pardoned. And then the executioner can be your third cousin, right? There's so many ways you can get at it. But it's not that way. It's not that way when you've done something to the Lord, right? Because the Lord, He decides you've hurt Him. He says, cut His legs off. What about the real Lord? Avraham Magenta had exposure to a justice system that's based on monarchy, that's based on authority and control. Not a democratic system like today where you can, work through the system. And that's of course why, on Rosh Hashanah, before we can talk about Zichronot, we have Malchiot. Because the concept of God remembering only has implications if you understand that God is also in charge. Im kivanim v'im ka'avadim. Now we realize that, he can try to throw us in jail even if we're wrong. There's no room. There's no room for games. So again, Eov's complaint is, how could it be that way? How would a person feel, the person who's the victim of Jack Nicholson, Jack Nicholson's things, the general and the few good men? Because this isn't fair. It isn't. But it's how justice works, right? I think we can understand what Eov's saying. In the second part of Eov's speech, he turns to God. Did you guys have a chance to prepare Paragud? Okay, so let's take a look at Paragud. Let's take a look. So here already it's clear that he's responding to Bildad-like claims. If you look in Paragud, Pasuk Gimel, HaTov lecha ki ta'ashok, ki tim'as yagia kapecha, v'alatzat rishaim hofata. Does it remind you of Perek Chet? Pasuk Chav, let's look back for a second. Hein el lo yim'as tam, v'lo yachzik bi'ad mireim. God wouldn't be unfair to the tam. What does he say here? HaTov lecha ki ta'ashok, ki tim'as yagia kapecha, and on the words of Rishayim you appear. Who is he referring to as a Rishayim? The Reim. And you like being represented by these evil people? And the question is what the difference is between what he's saying here and what he said last time. So first of all, he's speaking to God in first person. As opposed to the four, where it was like in third person, the arrows of God are with me, why does God treat man this way? Now he's like, yo! It's becoming much more severe. And also, he's not talking about it's good, it's bad. He's talking about a lack of justice. He's talking about a lack of justice. And you see it from the very beginning in Pasuk Bet, he says, Omar el Eloah, I'll say to God, Al Tarshieni. Don't convict me. Hodieni al matriveni. He's conducting the trial. Tell me why you're attacking me. Hatov lecha ki tashok. Do you enjoy to oppress me? Ki temas yagia kapecha v'latzak v'shem ofata. Ha'inei basar lach. Do you have flesh eyes? Im kerot enosh tireh. Do you look the way man looks? Hachimei enosh yamecha. Im shenotecha ki megaver. Are your days and years like man? That's he basically saying. Are you like man that you act so petty? Ki tevakesh la'avoni u'lechatati tidrosh, that you pursue my sins? Al da'atcha ki lo ersha, is it possible that you would allow me to not be guilty? V'ein yadcha matzil, and nobody can escape your hand. Now he picks up on the theme of hand and he presents a new idea. Yadecha itzvuni ve'asuni. You created me. Yachad saviv etvaleini. You built me around and swallowed me up in a certain form. Zecharna ki chachomer asitani ve'alafar teshiveni. Haloche chalav tatichani v'chagvina takvieni oru basar talbisheni v'atzamot v'gedim tochicheni chayim v'chesed asita midiv kudat chasham raruchi. He talks about God having created him. What's the significance of this? The ele tzafanta vilvavecha, and all this knowledge you keep inside yourself. Yadati ki zotimach. I knew that you have this intimate knowledge of me being my creator. Im chatati ushmartani umeavoni lo tenakeni. Im rashati alalaili v'tzadakti lo esaroshi. Svak alon reyoni. V'yeg'ek ha-shachot etzudeni v'tashov t'etpalabi. T'chadei she'edecha negdi v'terev ka'ascha imadi chalifot v'tzava imadi. What's the connection between these psukim and his description of God having created him? What?
Maybe asking for mercy.
Well, he doesn't ask for mercy, though.
He's saying, by saying that, like, I'm your son, so to speak.
What's the that would be a nice idea, but he doesn't say it. Right? What is the significance of God having created him? Chet, tet, yud, yud aleph, yud beis, yud gimel.
He knows him.
Okay, and therefore?
He should know whether he's good or bad.
You're saying along the lines that Fisher said, right?
No, like,
if he said in the next pasuk, you know me, and therefore you should have mercy on me, that would be great. Is that what he says?
No, not mercy. That, like, you know that I'm not that bad. So
doesn't say that. Yeah?
Why am I responsible for myself?
Is that what he says? Where? The next pasuk after he describes God having created him is pasuk Yudalit. Im chatati ushmartani umeavoni lo tenakeni. There's something powerful about the creator of something. As you guys are saying, the creator understands where it comes from, right? Let me give you an example. You talk about different people who do work for you and how what level of trust you need to have in them. How much do you need to make sure you have an honest doctor? What's a dishonest doctor going to do? A procedure you don't need, okay. How much do you need an honest mechanic?
Very.
Right, that's an area that's very different. How about the guy who installed the alarm in your house? How honest would you need him to be? Why? He knows the code. And then we say, I'll set the code for you now. This is how you can change it later. How many people change the code? That day. How honest does a policeman need to be? You guys remember from Home Alone? There's another movie I saw one time about this policeman who, for whatever reason, had it in for this family and he was making their life miserable and using, the justice system to do it. The question is, when you create something, when you have the information, what do you want to do with it? If you look, for example, in Sefer Tehillim, there's a mizmor that's very similar to this. Let's take a look. Kuf Lamitet. Kuf Lamitet. It says, Hashem chakartani vateda. You search me and know me. Atayadati shifti vakumi bantalarei mirachok. You know how I sit, how I get up. You know me from a distance. Archi v'revizarita v'chod rachai iskanta. Ein mila v'rshoni hein Hashem yadata kula. Achor v'kedem tzartani. You created me backwards and forwards. V'atashar lai kapecha. Pli adat mimeni. Niskava l'uchala. Ane elech meruchecha v'ane mipanecha evrach. Where can I escape your knowledge? Im asak shamayim shamata v'atziya sh'ol inecha. In the sky, in the depths. Asach anfei shachar ashkena v'achwit yam. Gam sham yadcha tancheni v'toch hazeni yiminecha. Even there you're with me. You're there with me. Va'omach shchoshach yishufeni v'layla orba adeni. When I thought that I was engulfed by darkness. Layla kayom ya'ir kashishcha ka'orab. Ki ata kanita kiliotai techukeni v'ivet animi. You formed me in the womb. Od chai al kinorot nifleiti niflim ma'asech v'nafshi odat ma'od. Lo nechad otmi m'mecha sheru seiti v'seiti rukamti v'tachti od aretz. You created me and you're there for me. You know already what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get myself in trouble, and you're there to help me. It's really nice. No. Again, the difference between Talmud and Eov is what you assume God wants to do with all that knowledge. Since God creates me, knows me very well, and therefore he's there to pick me up, help me out. Eov is saying, you know me. And you use it to know when I'm going to make a mistake and jump on me. Let's go back to Eov. What does he say? Pasuk Yud Dalet. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, you know all these secrets. You know all these secrets. Ve'elet safanta bilvavecha yadati kizot imach im chatati ushmartani umeavoni lotinakeni. You watch over my sins and you don't cleanse me from them. You don't do it to cleanse. You do it to attack. And again, Eov has a consistent understanding of how to view God. God wants man to suffer. And whether you call it just God instilling negative in the world, or whether you use the system of justice, the question is not the system, the question is what it's used for. Laws can always be justified. The Nazis had laws too. The question is what the goals of the laws are. And Eov assumes that God's goal is to cause man suffering, and got a lot of evidence for it. Okay, we'll finish next time. Questions? Can I have a chance to relate that? No questions? Okay, we'll finish this paragraph next time. Yeah?
There's one more question for this time. We could also have a discussion between God and Satan.
Maybe there's what for us to learn from it, because these are the kind of questions and claims people make in our own times too. Who's intimidated? We assume that's not true. But we're talking about how we explain that. It's a question of how you understand that vision, right? One could understand it as being something empowered by man, and God has to give man the ability to ruin things for himself. Next Monday, I won't be here. 2 Mondays from now.